once again. It's the fastest hour in hockey. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. I'm Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. For the next hour, wherever you're watching and listening on 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet Plus. Thanks for being on board. Tons to get into, storylines far removed from our Stanley Cup final. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like the Stanley Cup final was like a million years ago because there's just constant news coming in now. Moving forward.
I've never seen a book close faster. It's like, yep, and Florida won. Book closed. Preseason.
Okay. Yeah, enjoy it down there.
Yeah, fun.
Hey. Yeah, the fans felt the same way. Just,
when the fan did.
When you send the cup back up, yeah, make sure you get the sand out of the the shoes.
Yeah. Make sure you let them particles off the bottom of the from the Atlantic Ocean there, and off we go.
Make sure you let them cross the street.
Yeah, next
and then away we go.
The learning lesson.
Yeah.
This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, is brought to you by Bet365. And on top of that, must see TV tonight.
Oh yeah,
presidential election. Yeah. No.
Presidential
the NHL awards.
Oh, right. Yeah. I know what I'll be watching. Sportsnet.
Yes, the long-awaited NHL awards show is on tonight.
Will Connor stay in the dressing room for this award too?
Hey, now.
Please tell me he didn't go.
I hope not. I don't know.
I hope they didn't drag his ass over
there. Let the guy go home.
I got a question. Can the league pay these guys above and beyond their team to make appearances? Like, can the league say, I know you don't want to be here.
No.
We'll give you $100,000.
No.
Just show
no.
up.
No.
No?
No.
But don't you think it would be worth it to have these guys in the building?
I think the players... Of course, you know, coming off that last lockout and then the build up the last 20 years, it's like, boys, you want to get your salaries up, start working your asses off and start promoting. And I think for the most part, they've done a really good job. Mm-hmm. Every time we see Colby on a couch, you know, at the beginning of the season with guys and you're like...
Draisaitl?
Yeah, it's...
Sid?
You know, they're trying hard. They're not doing it because they love Colby like we love Colby. It's because
we do love
Colby. They think they're growing the game.
You're right. No, they're doing their best. They're putting themselves out there.
And at times it's kind of cringe TV. I got to be honest with you. It's like, guys, you're just trying too hard.
Well, you guys know me fairly well by now. Like, to do what Colby does...
You couldn't do it.
I would rather die. Yeah. I would rather let you both punch me on camera once and call it a segment than have to do those interviews.
Listen,
it's a hard interview, you know, to, like, guys who don't want to be there and you got to...
Listen, I experienced it when I came out of hockey and got right into Sportsnet. We were a new station as well, and I did some kind of those goofy things just to kind of grab some attention and stuff.
You got
to
do it.
But,
I know.
But Colby's got a window to do that. Like, I don't want
to. I crush an energy drink and away we go.
Like, you don't want to see a 45 or a 50 year old Colby on a couch with, you know, a 22 year old. That, so there's a small
don't
window
you?
There.
I don't know.
No.
People seem to want to.
No. Nobody wants to see 50 and 60 year old men on a couch. You know,
end
goofing around.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
No, there's a small window.
I'm the game we're talking about.
Okay, let's get this back on the rails here.
Thank you.
They've done a heck of a job, these players, beyond the call of duty to grow the game, but they got to stop squeezing every last drop out of them.
Oh, you're wrong.
Especially
McDavid.
They got to go to Vegas and drink and get awards.
No,
that sounds horrible.
No. He needs rest.
But McDavid's not going to go. There's no chance he's there. Is he there?
I don't know.
Call David Amber, find out if he's there.
I don't know.
We can do that. We can get those answers.
Yeah.
Okay, where do you want to go, Sammy? Like, you've had this Maple Leaf withdrawal. I see a lot of Kippers Clippers of Brad Treliving because he addressed the media yesterday. You want to start there? Do we talk about Vancouver opening up room?
Mikheyev going to Chicago.
Got
love
rid of
that
Mikheyev,
for Chicago,
Lafferty,
by the way.
They open up room. All of a sudden, we see meat and potato guys like Dakota Joshua signed $13 million, so there's room for him.
That's a rare middle class contract. We almost never see middle class deals.
Maybe we talk a little bit about that before we just go straight into the Leafs.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of the news of the day.
Listen, he had a hell of a year. He became...
He's only 28.
He gave them some serious identity.
Yeah. And you know Taka loves having him and said to Rutherford and Alvin and said, I need this guy here. So we
you
need
okay
a bit
with
more of that.
13? It's a little pricey.
I am okay with it. The only thing that stands out to me is like it changes expectations. And I think of like Alex Kerfoot or even Yarncroc to a lesser extent, but Kerfoot here in Toronto. What does a middle-class player look like? What do you get for that money? Your expectations can't be that he's a $6 million guy. He's just a well-played worker on the third line here, and I hope that this doesn't raise the bar where people are immediately disappointed when he's not a, I don't know, 25-goal guy or whatever.
I thought it was a lot.
Yeah.
For sure. Again, it's like he was good this year in a contract year, and I mean, we've seen that a million times.
Yeah.
And he was really good for them in the playoffs, so there's a lot of that recency bias. We remember him being very good in some big games, and he's a bruiser or whatever. But it's not going to kill you, that contract, but I did think it was a little rich, no? Kippy?
20 years old, 6'2".
If he's coming into his own and this is what you're going to get the next 4 years, it is pricey, but it's worth it.
Hey, he had 18 this year. Scored 18 times. Yep. I mean,
he's a physical presence, and we know what that means.
Like the player, I really do. I'm just saying it.
Yeah, I get it. But I do feel like if he's available as a UFA, he's exactly the type of guy the teams go, that's exactly who we need, a big third-line guy who scores 20. He would have got paid, so.
Teddy Bluger, also a two-year deal at 3.6, but everybody's wondering in Vegas if this is opening it up for Jake Guentzel.
Bluger got 3.6?
Over 2 years.
Over 2 years. Oh, whew. Okay. Yeah, I thought it was 1.8. Okay. Yeah. Bad math on my part. So what do you think that means for Vegas?
For Vancouver?
Vancouver, yeah.
I said a couple of days ago, I think at this point, and I don't know who else is coming in, someone mentioned Dallas may take a run at Guentzel, but I think he's probably sitting on Carolina on a last-ditch offer by Tom Dundon.
Yeah.
I think if they come up with the right numbers, I think there's a very good possibility that they could sign him. But where's that owner who's notoriously been, you know, alligator arms? They don't quite reach the pocket.
But I think you can sell an alligator-armed owner on the idea that you need playoff gates, right? We need those extra games.
Extra games.
And this guy's going to help you get a couple.
And you got to justify the assets that you gave up to get him in the first place.
Yeah.
No first-round pick.
He's 29 years old.
No question, Vancouver.
No first-rounder, that's true.
Would love him.
No first-rounder.
There's a mythical first-rounder. They announced it as a first-rounder with conditions.
Just of note, too, in about 20 minutes, we're going to welcome in the head coach of Team Canada at the Four Nations Face-Off.
And the
Olympics. Yeah, John Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very excited about that. Did want to stay with Vancouver for the Mikheyev-Lafferty thing.
Sure.
Which I think for Chicago, I am so critical of them for not having players, like NHL players. You get a couple guys. You got tons of cap space and you get a couple of guys. And good for Vancouver again, you know, with the space opening up.
Yeah.
So I like this deal from both sides.
Just enjoy missing the playoffs after experiencing them.
For Chicago. Or the Mikheyev and Lafferty. Yeah,
they're. And I think I saw somewhere that he had a choice between San Jose and Chicago, and Mikheyev chose Chicago because he had the no trade clause. So
I would have 2.
Yeah, me too.
I would have 3.
Yeah.
I like the city and the location, hockey city and Bedard, and there's some hope for upside, pressure to come faster. You can see it turning there.
Yeah.
Before San Jose, I think so.
No question. All right.
Leafs.
Yeah, we do the Leafs. We talked about Marner at length here in this show, and we had talked about the general manager addressing it. Yeah. And he came out yesterday.
Well, he just got nowhere to go.
And he addressed
it. He got cornered at the draft.
I was like, why is Tree Living speaking?
Yeah, because he's at the draft.
No, it's because Kip won't stop talking about this. It's all you, buddy. You did it.
Let's
start. But I haven't said a word about this.
Oh, yeah.
Not a word.
For sure. You've let other people say words on this very show.
We had Frank say some words.
Yeah. Let's listen to the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the first clip on Mitch Marner, please, Derek.
I'm not going to speculate on everything. I think it's real clear. I want to make it real clear. Mitch is a star. You know, Mitch is a superstar in the league, and He's been that since he's entered the league, and he's been that ever since he put on a Maple Leaf jersey. You know, we said it at the end of the year that, you know, we weren't happy how the year ended. That's not Mitch. You know, let's not focus it on Mitch. As an organization, as a team, we felt we should have gone further than we did. So when that happens, you have to look at everything.
Okay, like, who's not clear if Mitch isn't a star or superstar? The guy's, like, one of the top producing guys.
Yeah.
A handful of producing players in the league. So why does he make that clear?
He needs to say it, right?
Because you, multiple times have said, like, he hasn't come out and said anything. And then he did come out and said anything. He's like, why do you have to say he's a star? It's like, what do you want him to say, Kippy? That's the question I have for you. What do you want him to say?
I'm not saying, you know what I wanted him to say right from the get-go?
Yeah.
That he is a great player. If we can, we'll sign him like we wanted to sign Matthews and Nylander. And if we can't, then we'll, but we love him. We love him. Even if it's not true, you need to come out and you need to protect that asset as much as you can. And I just think, if it was me in Tree Living's situation, I would have come out right out of the gate. And I think it would have kind of curtailed a little bit of this narrative of people trying to run him completely out of town.
It would have for Mitch, but I think it would have been bad for Tree. Because I think that last year when those guys were, you know, didn't deliver, and then there was the, you know, after Dubas, it was Shanahan immediately protected these guys and told them they're all safe and all coming back, whatever. People were a little up in arms that was how it shook out. I think if Tree, after another bad performance, came out and said, we want him back, I think people would have been on Tree Living. So I think part of that was deflecting.
Selfishly, though, I think Brad's number one priority was to protect a great asset, which he is. He's a 100-point guy, and he's a tremendous asset. And by coming out and not coming remotely close to the attitude that you had for re-signing Matthews and Nylander, kind of exposed him a little bit, because you, by not saying something, you're also sending a strong message that this is the guy that needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
I agree.
I think the media, and I think social media as well, have fed off of that.
Well,
that it was just a foregone conclusion, because you're not saying that you're interested in re-signing him means you're pushing him right out the door.
Would you like to hear the second clip where he addresses that?
Yes.
Marner clip two, clip two from Marner Tree Living 4 there, Derek. Clip two? Maybe not.
Nope.
I try to have a real open dialogue with my players all the time. Now, what I can't do is every time that there's, you know, and nothing personal against your guys' side of the business, but sometimes there's reports out there and there's rumors, and especially this time of year, I get it. It's news, right? I'd caution us to pay too much attention to some of the noise. We can't react to all the noise, right? Like, that's you can't. Other than Mitch knows what I feel, you know, about him as a player. And, you know, in this line of work that we're in, the great thing about playing in the market that we're in is the passion that people have. And when things don't go the way we all want them to go, you see the passion, right? And you just got to stay steady at the wheel. And you know, so we communicate that. But, you know, you can't control all the outside noises sometimes. You can't control... you know, what rumors are out there, and you can't just react to them, right? He knows sort of where I'm at and my feelings about him. Like I said, it's we were all disappointed at the end of the season, right? But that doesn't go on one person's shoulders or two people's shoulders. That's our team didn't achieve what we wanted to achieve. We moved by that, and now we look forward. But Mitch is a star. You know, this guy's a, like I said, there's very few players that come into the league and do what he did from day one. And special player.
And people talk, and the rumors, the Real Kipper and Bourne show yesterday where I was listening.
I
So is that, like, there was a report that you're really aggressively, was that because of Frank on our show?
Potentially.
I don't know.
I mean, the timing's good.
I think two things are going on here. Part of the reason he hasn't
softened it or didn't soften it earlier is because I think that maybe he does want to trade him and want him to waive and want him to feel like it's going to be a little uncomfortable here. Maybe that was initially some of that vibe. The other thing is Mitch isn't waving. He's just not waving. He's not waving. He has all the cards, right? I mean, in terms of he has a no move. He's going to be a UFA. He has a contract. Like, unless someone, I see tons of teams making or signing Mitch to the deal you think he might get, but also giving up a first rounder or a top pair defenseman or whatever. I can't see them doing both. It's hard. My point is, I think he's going to start the year late.
I also see a world where they could, and again, this is not me suggesting that, to your point, Mitch is waving or signing or anything, but is there a world where you see Tree Living going, if I could sign him for like 4 years at 11 or 11 and a half, that's value to me. Yeah. That's a good signing.
Buddy, I would do that in a heartbeat.
But you're not going to be able to do that without giving him a no-move clause, and you're going to want to have that in.
Forget that for a second.
That's a huge part of it.
If you see value in that, then why not come out of the gate saying, listen, if we can sign him, we'd love to sign him.
Yeah. I'm not arguing at all that the best thing to do for the value of the asset was to claim it's going nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? There's no doubt about that. But I do think that Tree's reputation would have taken a bit of a hit if immediately after they lose in round one, he's like, the guys who didn't produce, we need them. You know, I think he was
so
at
he
risk.
Said, you can't listen to the noise, but what you're saying is he's listening to the noise.
Absolutely saying that.
No question.
You know they listen to the noise. They all listen. I have been on a coaching staff with Sheldon Keefe and Kyle Dubas, and they had every day the news clippings would get printed and put in the coach's office, whether they read them or not, which they often didn't. And Sheldon himself said he got a lot better over his career not reading it. But the early days?
Yes.
Yeah. And like when we're in the dress coach's office, clipping video, talking about it, there's TVs, like SportsNet Central's on. It's all happening. So
yeah,
they can't
look at Paul Maurice. He was talking about
Paul Maurice, 15 minutes, the biggest choke in NHL history about to happen. Maurice left it on the screen for 15. Yeah. Like, They know what's going on.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you that I don't think Mitch Marner's going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah. Mm. That'll be what it is.
And the noise will continue. Yeah. Either he's got a deal
done. The beatings will continue until morale approves. That old line is coming.
Mm. Yeah. All right, what else you got for us, Sammy?
I guess we're coming up to free agency. Maybe we could talk about the UFAs that are pending for the Leafs and, most notably Bertuzzi, Domi. You addressed that a little bit. So clip number 6, please, Derek.
We haven't got anybody signed yet. They're going, right? It's a little bit as what I talked about earlier, David, is you know, and we all know the players, right? We've got some players, we'd like to retain them. We've got to focus on the defense, right? So it's hard. If you want to give yourself as much flexibility on the blue line, every dollar that you spend up top maybe takes away from that. That's not to say we wouldn't sign a forward. We're just stuck in a negotiation, not there yet. So we'll continue that, you know, over the course of the next whatever it is till Monday, I guess it is free agency, or Monday, Tuesday, whenever the first is. Certainly some players we'd like to retain. You got X amount of dollars. You got X amount of seats. It's, you know, you just got to see if the math works.
The Leafs cap sheet for the defense is wild.
Yeah.
Like Riley, McCabe, Benoit, who doesn't like all three of those? We all like all three of those players at the dollars they make. Great. After that, it's Connor Timmins, who I just don't think is going to be a Leaf. I could be wrong, but they showed no real interest in him. Maybe he is. Maybe we'll see. Cade Weber is signed, who probably not going to be a Leaf. So then you got Labushkin, Giordano, Edmondson, Brody. Of those four, I don't think any of them are going to be Leafs.
I can't disagree.
Labushkin, Giordano, Edmondson, Brody.
Oh, Edmondson they want back, but there's a lot of teams that I think would be willing to
only 30.
Give him a pay raise.
Mm.
So I don't know where Leafs are.
I'd like him back too.
At 3.5.
I liked him
too. 3.5. Would you pay 4 for him?
Probably not.
Yeah, you run into that problem with all UFAs. Yeah. It's like, yeah, love him at 3.25.
Yeah, I liked him when he was making this year for the Leafs.
And then Liljegren is the one I didn't mention, who's an RFA, who they're going to pay.
And Arbrights, if I'm not mistaken.
Does he have Arbrights?
We have a clip on that. Would you like to hear it?
You're such a good
one. All right. Loser. Clip 7, please, Derek.
Liljegren and Robertson. Nothing really to report there. Similar as we talked about with our UFAs. You know, that's the difference between the two is Lily's got Arbrights. So sometimes, again, just as we all know, you look at it and the qualify offer is one thing. What the Arb case could be is another. So, we've been in touch with his camp to see if there's a number that can work. But that's certainly a consideration, right? Having, you know, the higher the number is, you got to see how that fits into the puzzle as well. So where we are is ongoing talks with their representatives, yeah.
Liljegren is 25, right shot D. What do you think he's asking for, he's worth, he's going to get?
I don't want to spend much more than $3 million on him.
Give him three a year? I feel like that's really high, personally.
What do you make this year?
1.4?
Yeah.
It depends on his comparables and his minutes. And
yeah. You know, getting scratched in playoffs for the third straight year is not great as a comparable goes.
I think he's the type of guy that thinks, I got to get out of here. Yeah. I need a fresh change.
I think they think that too.
Right?
I'll drive the Uber.
Listen,
55 games this year, 23 points.
He saw last year, and forget about how it turned out or the outcome for Justin Hall, mm-hmm. but he's thinking,
how am I not Justin Hall dollars?
Or how am I, like, I just need that opportunity to get out.
Well, and then he saw his boy Rasmus get out, and what did they give him in Washington? Four times 4.5?
Yeah.
Was it 6 times 4.5? It was longer than 4, I think so.
And good Lord.
And it really sounds like Max Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi will see Monday unrestricted free agency. The Leafs are not happy with the term and the money that they've asked for.
Really?
Yeah. Mm.
On both?
This may be the year, you know, in an effort to differentiate themselves from the Dubas era management, that they just dig in on players and say, we're not doing it. And yeah, I do think that it's not the worst thing to just maintain some cap space and not overpay at UFA and figure out as the season goes on, you know, are there some distressed assets who are looking for a new home? Can Kawhi Leonard, you know, come here at some point?
5 years, $4.6 million for Rasmus.
5 years, $4.6 million. Yeah. That is so now, much.
Skinner's out there. I thought it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to get bought out yesterday. At least that's what
people are saying.
Most of the reports were, but I guess they were a little inaccurate because the Buffalo Sabres and Kevin Adams said no decisions yet on Skinner.
Really?
Like, what are you guys doing? Just still sitting around the campfire going,
Haven't made your decisions yet?
But
that's
the type of guy that could come in here on a one-year deal for
doesn't work though,
$3 million.
It's the same guy they've had, you know.
You think?
Oh, they've had so many of this guy.
I don't mind Skinner.
I like him too.
I don't mind him.
I don't want to give the impression that I don't like him. He's just, it feels like exactly what they've had. Although we don't know, maybe he's the best playoff player history. We've never seen it. We will find out.
He's Bob Gainey. Who knows?
Ryan Suter could get bought out for a second time from Dallas.
But it's over. It's 40 years of age, and it was apparent that the speed had caught up to him.
Called me a bender in college once, so I've resented him ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you don't think, so then Domi's not back.
Well,
I
don't know. I all I know is
trending in that direction.
Too much money, too much term for him.
Do you have any idea what the number is?
Pierre LeBrun floated out $5 million, and everybody thinks that the agent told Pierre LeBrun that to put it out there. So
for Domi,
well, that's the feeling.
Okay,
that's how that number kind of came to, and the sense is that if it's not that number, it's a lot higher than the Leafs are still comfortable going.
And Bert, not the same agent, is it? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's too bad, though.
Right?
I really did like Domi's contributions here, and I thought he really improved.
Yeah, for sure.
And a few people told me that they like DeBrusk, too. They think he's a better skater than Bertuzzi.
DeBrusk to the Leafs.
Louis DeBrusk.
Lou Dombrowski.
Jake.
Yeah, Jake. And Perron, too, I've seen a lot of talk about as well.
That older player, but great veteran
Perron,
presence.
Perron, I like.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So I guess we know where we're at.
Today in the Toronto Star, I wrote about Joseph Woll basically being the number one goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Wow.
That, with Markstrom gone and Ulmer in Ottawa, the sense is that they're going to look for an experienced backup that can mentor him and be very supportive. But
you mean the starting goalie for 80% of the year, the veteran backup?
Well, listen, if the thinking is if Wall's not ready to step up and get on a roll that could get him to 45 or 50 games, then they've got a Boston Bruins scenario of 1A, 1B.
Mm-hmm. But who's, I mean, like Brassois or Stolarz?
That's a good question.
To me, that's terrifying. Because
that's a good question.
Stolarz is the best.
I saw, Woll miss 3 months of a season because of a flutter puck off the half boards and then disappear in the most important game of the year. Like, it just.
Well, that's the gamble.
Yeah, it's a big one. You're gambling on these guys' primes with lottery tickets in net.
If you look around, there's not a lot to choose from, Sam.
I know.
Right?
Well, there was a couple guys, but they didn't get either.
But those ships sailed.
It was really bad fortune for the Leafs that it was the Calgary Flames with every asset the Leafs needed.
We should go
right after Tree left Calgary.
We got to get to Cooper. We can pick this up after Cooper. We got to go.
And your boy Saros looks like he's the intention is Nashville to re-sign him.
So then what, him and Askarov are going to have 1A and 1A?
Oh, Askarov's young. He's like 22, 23.
Yeah, and they're not ready. They think he could use a year or two.
Wow.
And they want to bring him along slowly.
Yeah.
Slowly.
All right.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Game time on the other side, as well as John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightnings and your team Canada. Back after these words.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. A couple minutes went. Sammy, we got John Cooper. Or are we waiting on John?
I think we're waiting. Yeah.
All right. We'll have some fun with Coop.
Head coach, Team Canada. Love that.
Wonder how much he enjoyed watching Florida win a Stanley Cup.
I mean, it was probably pretty easier when you got two.
Yeah, probably.
That helps.
But
Florida did beat them in five.
It is their main rival.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I wonder if he would ever say something like, guys, I don't care. If it's not us, I don't care. But you kind of have to pretend to be the
We're
going to
ask him. Okay. Right?
We are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You think in his mind he's got his Team Canada lineup picked out?
He's probably going to be seeing a lot of Braden Point over the next couple of years. I would imagine.
Braden Point should be involved, yeah?
Yeah, probably going to be involved a lot, wouldn't you think?
How much would the head coach get to... Oh, we got him. He can answer all the questions.
All right. I hope we didn't tip our hand on all our tough questions while he's been waiting on us. Let's welcome in two-time Stanley Cup champion with the Lightning, now head coach of Team Canada for Four Nations Face-Off in the Olympics. How's it going, John Cooper?
What's up, boys? Hey, I just ran into David Amber. Where are you?
Were you at the gym? Was he doing curls?
So, you kind of give the handshake and then you pull it in for like the quick half one arm man hug. And I was like, Jesus.
He gave you
the gym day.
He gave you the one arm man hug, eh?
Oh, well, yeah, but it felt like he just came from the gym. He's a strong man.
So I don't know if you caught any of us. I'm not sure if you caught any of us off the top when we came back, but what was it like for you watching the Florida Panthers win a Stanley Cup? Is it equivalent to a Leaf fan watching a Montreal Canadian lift a cup?
So it's weird. Like in my career, I've thought about when you get knocked out of the playoffs and watching and things like that. And so there was a stretch there for a while. We were making it to the conference finals and, had some game seven heartbreaks. And then I just couldn't watch the finals. It was just really tough to watch until it was time for the cup to be handed out. And I always made sure I was in front of the TV when the cup got handed out, just for so many reasons. It's the greatest trophy in sports, and it's, you know, your goal to win that. And it was always motivation for me. Like, I want to be, that's where I want to be. And so I'd always watch that. And, you know, the last, you know, 2 years, unfortunately, we've been knocked out in the first round, and I found myself like glued to the TV watching all the games. And so it's, you know, it's, again, it's motivation for yourself. Now, you know, to watch Florida win, obviously we're in the home state. They're probably our biggest rival. I think they might say the same thing about us. And so, you know, you want to be the team that, you know, you want to be the guy at the top of the mountain in Florida. And, you know, this year they passed us. But in saying that, you know, you cheer for good people, and you're really happy to see, you know, Paul raise the trophy over his head. I think, you know, somebody that's put his time in this league and done everything possible, it was really cool to see him raise the cup. And they were deserving. It was a phenomenal final. You couldn't go wrong with either team winning. But you know, when we played Florida, I knew they were going to be a tough out. They have a heck of a team, and Bill Zito, the way he's built it, and Bobby Lou, all those guys. You got to tip your hat to them. They did a hell of a job.
Yeah, they certainly did. I can't help but wonder, as a coach, like, it has to be such a different experience watching these games versus a fan, just seeing it the way that you see it, knowing Florida as you know them. So when they were starting to lose their grip on the Stanley Cup final, you know, they lose one, they lose two, they lose three. Do you find yourself going like, Paul, you gotta do this, you gotta change this? Are you doing it in your head, or is it like you just feel sympathy because, you know, sometimes it just doesn't go your way?
Well, they won the Stanley Cup, so they did it. They probably won it, you know, the way they probably didn't want it to go the way that it did. It made a little nerve-wracking for them. But Edmonton was, like, they were really good. You got to give them credit for, you know, the adjustments they made. I mean, when you go up 3-0 in a series, I've been in that situation. You know, Montreal, we played them. More recently, I guess, Florida, we were up 3-0 and we closed them out. But that game, we closed them out to sweep them. Mm-hmm. They dominated us. You know, that was a Vassie win. And they're hard games to close out. And so I remember, you know, a few years before that, we played Montreal and we were up 3-0, and then we lost the fifth game, then we lost the fifth game, and we're coming home and Carey Price is playing unbelievable. But you have to, it's a mental mindset. And I think those closeout games, I'm telling you, they are so hard to win. And the other team's playing a little bit more free. They're playing with some urgency. Oftentimes, especially when the big prizes went to knock a team out, you know, family are flying in, tickets, you're doing all these things, and you can lose a bit of your mental edge. And even, you know, the bubble cup, when we played Dallas, you know, we had a chance to close them out. And, God, actually, I think it was Corey Perry that scored in overtime, and we didn't close them out, so now we had to wait another game. And, you know, a big thing for me was, you know, get off social media, get off doing this. Like, let's, you know, we still have a prize to win, and we can walk with that prize for the rest of our life. But it's just that mental game. And I think there was probably a time there that Florida was grappling with that. And then, you know, in the end, though, it is hard to beat a team four times in a row. And I give Edmonton credit to claw their way back in against a phenomenal team. You know, now all of a sudden it's a one gamer, but, you know, to watch Florida lose four in a row, that would have been a feat for Edmonton. They did it. I mean, they pushed it right to the end, but it's tough. And I think that's the big thing Paul probably did in his adjustment, was fix the mental side of things for his team.
We're talking to John Cooper, two-time Stanley Cup champion with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and now adding Team Canada to his workload. So between now and September, it's focusing on your training camp and getting ready for that, but also as a head coach for the Four Nations face-off and ultimately the Olympics here. So do you know, Coop, what your workload would be in terms of now balancing your responsibilities as a head coach in the NHL, but also to Team Canada, and what that may look like now for you moving forward?
Yeah, it's definitely added a few more hours to the day. There's no doubt about that. You know, it's humbling, the honor. I was, you know, so fortunate to be named, you know, for 2022. And then when the NHL didn't go, you're just in that situation like, wow, did I miss my window? Am I going to get another chance? And fortunately, Canada gave me that chance. And it's hard to explain because you grow up and you grow up in Canada and it's just hockey's. It's in our blood. You know, it's the fabric of how we've grown up. And to have that honor to represent your country, you don't take that lightly. And so it's our job and my job and to make sure that whatever you do, you work your tail off to no end to put our country in the best situation to succeed. And that's my job. And it's also my job to do that with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Now, the one thing I do have on my side is we've been with our group in Tampa and have a good feel for them. And who knows, what's going to happen moving forward. But, fortunately for me, I'm not walking into a brand new NHL job. So I know my landscape. I know what we have to do to push ourselves back to where we want to be. But thank goodness I've been there for a decade now. So that will help this whole situation with, all the planning that has to go on this summer with Team Canada.
John, I know in the NHL, it doesn't make sense for a GM to provide his coach with players who don't play the way the coach likes to play. There has to be some sort of connection between the GM and the coach. That, to me, seems more important in a tournament like this where you're going to put the team together immediately. So, how much say will you have in what players you guys use?
Well, I'm definitely going to have some say. And I think there's a management group with Sweens and Jim Nelson. Like these are great hockey minds. They've done it in the NHL. They know this league. For me, do I know all these players? Of course I do. But I'm not watching them on a daily basis with the eyes the managers are. And so, I'm watching my team and preparing our team and how those things go. But probably have maybe a little bit of a leg up because I was so involved in, prepping for 2022. It's amazing how, the landscape of the players have changed a little bit in not that long a time. But as you said, there has to be synergy between the coach, the managers, the assistants, all those things. And just in the small window I've had of recent, everybody's on the same page. I think, style of play and all that, all those things come into it. But being from Canada, we're extremely fortunate to have a plethora of some wonderful, fantastic hockey players. So, but they do. It's like pieces in the puzzle. And you have to, you've got your framework, and then you have to slowly put those pieces in, and it's our job to do it.
One of those players, maybe one here in Toronto, I don't know how much you've paid attention to the news off the ice up here in Toronto, but there's a lot of people here that would gladly drive Mitch Marner to the airport if it meant him being traded. You had him as a 19-year-old, if I'm not mistaken, at the World Championships. And what you saw back then and what you could potentially see moving forward on Team Canada.
Well, it's hard for me in this situation. I don't mean to be rude or anything, but to talk about individual players and things at this outset. I mean, everything's brand new.
Oh, that would be posturing, right?
So, but I will. I'm going to tell you one thing about 2017. So, World Championships is a little bit different because some players are asked to go, and for whatever reason, somebody's getting married or something's going on, and they can't go, or they're injured. So, there's a bit of a pecking order. And back then, it was all the new kids on the block were. Mitch was one of them. Braden Point was one of them. Travis Konecny. And so, at times you're putting a team together saying, okay, maybe these guys will be future Canada guys, like in pro hockey. Let's bring some of these young guys over for experience. And so that was kind of a mindset back then because they were such, young kids. And all they did was by the time that tournament ended, I had those three on the line and they were phenomenal for us. And so, you go in, you don't know the situations that you know, you think at one point this is how it's going to be, and then it ends up being completely different. I remember in 2016, I was an assistant on Team North America. Nobody, speaking of another Leaf, had really seen Austin Matthews play. And so he was like, we didn't even know where to put him in yet because we didn't really have a feel for him. And then by the time that tournament ended, you know, he was, you know, a top line player for us and was just phenomenal. So this is the exciting part of it, is trying to put the pieces together. But all the guys you've mentioned in the time I had them, and I know that was 8 years ago or whatever, but they're fabulous hockey players. And so it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Just a quick note, you will have impact on the players that you want to coach. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, they don't have to listen to you, but you will get your two cents in, right?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's just being around, you know, the managers already. It's an exciting time, and they're all just really bright guys. And you just sit in the room and you take in everything they're saying, and you're like, wow, these guys are smart. And so it's great to be around them. But like I said, this will be a team effort. It's not going to be an individual just stepping in and picking a team.
Well, listen, we hope to have you on a few more times between now and the tournament. Thanks for always being a good friend to our show, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. And hopefully we'll talk down the road here, and time to go over here soon and watch a few awards get handed out.
All right.
Thanks, Cooper.
That
appreciate
John
your time.
John Cooper, Stanley Cup champion.
Good man. He could take our jobs.
Yep, he will.
How about a podcast with him and Paul Maurice?
I don't think they can do it. I don't, honestly don't. Like, it's
no, it's overkill.
It is too, there's too much going on there. They need to be separated. I don't know if it would work.
There would be too much.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Who leads? Who follows?
No, there's no, they need an actual mediator. They need a host or something.
But hey,
okay,
if those two are on board, I would love to host the show.
When you finally need a breath, I'll go, okay?
Yeah. Get DA in there to host it.
Yeah. Volunteer to do that.
I find this fascinating, him talking about just all the inner workings of doing the Team Canada while being the coach of, I think the Olympics will be a little bit different because it like shuts down for a lot longer, I think, than it will for the Four Nations face-off. Mm-hmm. But just having to look at these guys you're battling with every night and then immediately start coaching them over a short little period of time, getting to know their intricacies,
yeah,
getting the coach, like, it's a hard job, man.
Yeah, but who would you trust more to do it? I agree it is. You know, Coop seems like the guy to do it. So
Paul Maurice or Hammer would be the only two guys that I would trust.
Your dad's era, like Edmonton and the Islanders, they just hated. They never talked to each other. They never did anything. And then they'd end up like together, right?
Yeah.
And either not so much an all-star game, but even that 79 Canada versus, or not Canada, NHL Stars versus Russia or something of that magnitude where they just had to come together very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Dad played on a team, on a Canada Cup team, and I don't know the exact year, but it's in Gretzky's autobiography about how it was basically half Oilers, half Islanders, and at some point Gretzky, you know, wrote or said that my dad stood up and was like, we don't like you guys, you don't like us. Well, we need to make it work better than this. Like, we at least need to get through this week.
That's
sort of thing.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So that, you know, but that was a true level of passion. It feels like everyone is more temporary now in the NHL. You're on a roster for a year,
and
two,
all these guys,
3 years.
All these guys are best buds and follow each other on Instagram.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all same agents. And
I actually
best
was going to ask Coop if we had more time about, like, their team got ripped apart by the salary cap. You know, like, you know, how would they, how long a run could they have been on if they get to keep Yanni Gordon, Tyler Johnson, Andre Palat, and
okay,
Arthur
forget
Goodrow
those names. Just get to Steven Stamkos. Come on.
Yeah.
Get to that name. Like, what is going on? I wrote today in my article there in my notes that I didn't use the word insulting offer, but I heard it was pretty close. And he is 100% going July 1st.
Whoa, 100%.
If their offer does not improve between now and then, he is going July 1st as a free agent.
Wow.
I don't know that the dollars are going to be out there for Steven Stamkos that he thinks are going to be out there.
Okay.
You know what I'm... Oh, you need game time?
Well, just quickly. We got time.
Go.
What do you want to say? No, what do you want to say?
I'm starting to hear, too, that, you know, that there are certain guys in the 34, 35 that could still end up with 7 or 8 year deals.
What are you talking about?
like 34, 35 years old. Like, you're talking about Chris Tanev.
I'm talking about Stamkos, too. That there might be a situation where they're willing to give them 7 or 8 years, knowing that they'll only take 4 or 5.
But didn't they do something about this?
And then I don't think you can. Like,
Stamkos is actually under the 35 age where it becomes, it's on your cap regardless. So that's something.
And Tanev would fall underneath that?
Yep. He's 34 as well, I think.
Interesting.
But if they go on long term, you get to bury it.
They just got to be hurt.
But they are hurt.
No, I know. They're all hurt.
You're hurt.
I'm hurt. Everyone's hurt.
But everybody's got wear and tear that could get them to the long-term IR.
I could go in a doctor's office today and him be like, these knees are no good. You cannot play hockey ever again.
So,
for sure.
So why not give him extra years knowing that you'll write him off?
Shady business. I like it.
It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Now, I'm doing this just to give a promo for the show that's coming up after us.
Mm-hmm.
The Toronto Blue Jays are home tonight to the New York Yankees. They are pretty formidable underdogs, plus 115, minus 135 on the money line for the New York Yankees. The reason I bring this up is because Blair and Barker coming on after us have the general manager, Ross Atkins, at 415.
What a get.
So a lot of pressure for old Blair and Barker. Ask the right questions. There's a temperature.
A lot of pressure for Ross.
Oh, yeah.
I got to tell you, one of the highlights of my day is when we interact with that show in 2 minutes.
It's the best thing in the world.
Yesterday, Kip asked Barker a question about fielding a pop-up at first.
Yeah.
He's in here running out the steps and the movements you got to make.
Listen,
and
we only have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes of a transition between our hockey show and their baseball show.
Yeah.
In 30 seconds, Barks has given me something new I learned.
I know.
So about baseball.
So just to say that the show coming in after us has the general manager of the Blue Jays very under fire, and he's coming on to talk to these guys today at 4:15. So make sure you stick with Sportsnet 590 The Fan, find Blair and Barker podcast. So just want to bring that up. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365 with 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
So in saying that, like, could you, in theory, give Stamkos $3 million a year for 7 years?
The Nick Paul contract? The exact Nick Paul
contract? I'm just saying,
if
he wants to get to $20 million or 24,
yeah.
I can't get you there in 3 years, but I can get you there in 7 years.
Yeah, it's pretty insane, right? Like, right, that's pretty insane, because he's probably closer to a $7 million for over 3 years type of guy. He just scored, what did he get, 35 last year? I don't even know what the number it was.
So, I mean, who knows how this ends up, but
call the Canadian Tire guy, boys. Now, call him up.
Now all of a sudden you hear Stamkos with Detroit and Stamkos linked to Vegas.
Nashville is the third favorite on Bet365 for landing him, 8-1. So
Nashville, so you know how I'm all about Chicago getting NHL players? Nashville needs some talent. They need some, like, I looked at that roster last year and they were a very good team, but they need some guys like that. Some Stamkos type
nice there.
Guys who can... All right, there's a guy who make it an elite play for us.
I could picture him in that jersey, too.
Can, too.
Yeah, so.
That would be a big hit to that organization, losing their face.
Big time.
Stamkos.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
For me,
think so.
He's in the, like,
he's part of the, era, and once he's gone, it's
he's
like.
He's above Vinny. He's above St. Louis. He's above a lot of them. He is.
Completely
he sits
agree,
at the
Ken.
Top of the mountain there. He's one guy that should retire there.
Mm-hmm.
You think he'd be a one-team guy. He just seems like it. Like, he's got two cups.
Two and a half minutes in their first cup of playoffs. Scored a goal.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Nothing surprising about Ken Holland, expiring contract. Yeah. This is Jeff Jackson's team, guys.
But
this is not.
Did Ken Holland hire Jeff Jackson?
No.
Cates hires Jackson, and Jackson decides we've seen enough of Ken Holland, or just mutual?
Yeah, I think once... Jeff came in, it was apparent that, you know, he's either going to make all the decisions with somebody else, but it's just not going to be Ken.
Hey, our boy, Claude Julien, on the bench again with an NHL team.
We lost another one, boys.
Did we get him that job?
We lost another one.
Are you not getting a cut?
No.
I
think Sam McKee could get a cut.
He might. I texted him
today. He said, thanks, thumbs up.
Let's go.
There we go, boys.
All right, our thanks to John Cooper for joining us. Enjoy your NHL awards show. We're back tomorrow, Off the Rails Friday. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Have a great night, everybody.